Genesis chapter 11. If you need a Bible this morning, raise your hand and our ushers will bring you one. Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Verse number 4, and they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." I'm going to talk this morning about borrowing a line from television, "The trouble with towers and the people who build them." The trouble with towers. First of all, the Tower of Babel was not built for the glory of God. Who was it built for? They said, "Let us make ourselves a name. And let us build us a tower." Listen to that language. Notice the lack of participation by God in this building project. It's nowhere. You read this entire story of the Tower of Babel, and what you never see is God participating. Now compare this to the last big building project we studied in Genesis chapter 6 in verse 14. If you compare Noah's ark, God said to Noah, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall build it." And then God proceeded to teach Noah how to build a boat. It was the world's first, because up until this time, there was very little body of water on the earth. And so God showed Noah how to build that ark. God did not have anything to do with the building of this city, with the building of this tower. You know, the ark is a symbol of salvation. And last week we looked at five ways. We could have looked at a dozen, but we looked at five ways that the ark is a symbol of salvation. And the Tower of Babel is a symbol of rebellion and sin. So they build this city and they build this tower, and it was magnificent as far as building goes. But it wasn't for God's glory. And church, I just want to warn all of us that anything that we do, anything that we put our shoulder to, anything that we put our resources into that is not for the glory of God is suspect to becoming a Tower of Babel. And you know, we've all done it. We've all built these towers unto ourselves. And we shouldn't do it. So consider this. Consider this before you make a move. Now, I have to admit that I'm a little sensitive about people moving out of California. I'm a little sensitive about people moving anywhere. I just want you all to stay right where you are. But consider before you make a move. Am I making this move for the glory of God? Or am I making this move to... Am I going to leave my family? Am I going to leave my lifelong friends? Am I going to leave what I do for the Lord for a house? For 2x4s in stucco. Now look, if you do that because God's calling you to do that and He's got something for you to do wherever He's calling you, go! By all means, go! And starting next week, we're going to study the life of Abraham, and that's exactly what God called Abraham to do. He told Abraham, go. Abraham said, "Yes, sir, where? I'll tell you later." Just go. Right. Which direction? Doesn't matter. Just start. And you know what, beloved? Sometimes God calls you to do that. And if that's what God's calling, go. But don't do it to build yourself a name. Don't do it out of fear of the real estate market. Don't do it. I stand before you telling you that God can give you a home in Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park, Camarillo, or Simi Valley, if that's what He wants to do. Amen? He can do it if that's what He wants to do. Consider these things before you promote in the job that you're in. Don't take a promotion because you're building yourself a name. Take a promotion because it will honor and glorify God. And if that promotion won't honor and glorify God, don't do it. At the time that Pastor David came and talked to me about a year ago, actually over a year ago, David came to me first and he said, "Hey, I want to burden you with something. I'm going to go and start a Bible college. And I want you to serve as the interim pastor." It was about 2 days later that my boss called me. And you know, you can finish the story, right? 2 days. Don't promote for your own glory. Promote for God's glory. Consider this before you marry somebody. Is God calling you to marry that person? I heard this week someone who I have the utmost respect for. Utmost respect. And they married a non-believer. And I just have to scratch my head. Church, the scripture's clear. Be not unequally yoked. Consider this before you offer your counsel into someone's life. Before you speak to somebody that's in the throes of decision making, before you open your mouth, consider, is what I'm about to counsel for God's glory, or is it for my glory? And if it's not for God's glory, what's a good piece of advice for that person? I just didn't want to say it, but it sounds much better coming from you all. Consider this before you spend. Consider this before you say yes to a commitment. Am I going to make this commitment for God's glory? Or am I going to make this commitment because it's going to make me feel better about me? And let me say this doubly for this. Consider before you say no to an opportunity that the Lord might present you. God brings you an opportunity to serve. God brings you an opportunity to give. God brings you an opportunity to go. Lynette shared yesterday with the ladies way back when God called her to go on a short-term missions trip to Europe. When she said yes, she assumed that that meant that Lynette and I were going to go on a short-term missions trip to Europe. God didn't call me to go. And so Lynette went on this short-term 2-week missions trip to Europe. And you know what? She's never been the same. She's unrecognizable from before that trip because she stepped out and she went up on stage. You don't see her up here very often, do you? And when I make her come up here, you know that I pay for it later, right? You know that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And there she is in Europe doing drama ministry. Just imagine it. Imagine Lynette miming something. That doesn't happen. So consider these things. And beloved, whatever we do, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." The trouble with the Tower of Babel was that it wasn't built for the glory of God. Yes, it was a magnificent building. It was huge. Into the 15th century, historians, John Gill quotes historians that would go to the site. And their vernacular was, "It's a mile high." I doubt that seriously. But even the ruins were so high that the historians would say, a thing still a mile high. But it was not for the glory of God. The second trouble with towers is that they honor the wrong God. They honor the wrong God. In verse 4 it says, let us build a tower whose top is in, and that word is unto, whose top is unto the heavens. Now it's very doubtful that the builders of the Tower of Babel were actually trying to build a tower so high that they would enter heaven. If that indeed was their motive, they wouldn't have started at sea level. Where would they have started? Yeah, probably Mount Ararat or some other tall mountain. They knew about mountains. Trust me, they all crawled down from Ararat. So they weren't trying to actually storm heaven. But what they were trying to do was to offend heaven. Matthew Henry writes this about this. It seems designed, the tower that is, for an effort to affront to God. For they would build a tower whose top might reach into the heavens, which bespeaks a defiance of God and a rivalship with Him. This word for heavens is the same word as the stars. And you know there are three heavens. There's the heaven of the atmosphere, the heaven of the stars, and the heaven of God. So they were building a tower upon which they could see the stars. Another interpretation of this verse is that the chief head or the top, the chief head was the stars. Literally, they were building a tower to worship stars. That's what the Tower of Babel was about. They were worshiping the stars instead of the God who hung the stars. The accuracy of the stars bespoke deity to them, but then they made the stars God instead of realizing it was God who hung the stars and said, now you stay there. Sit. Stay. Spin. Perfectly. And God created that, and they missed that. Historians tell of the ziggurat temples that still can be seen in ruins in this part of the world. And you know what's amazing? On Wednesday, the land of the Tower of Babel was given away. Let me just read you this news. This is from the Fox News, September 3rd, 2003. Babylon, Iraq. The United States-led coalition in Iraq handed over the south-central part of the country Wednesday to an international force led by Poland, hailing the transfer as a sign of the global community's commitment to post-war Iraq. And the Bush administration has begun circulating language for a new United States resolution that would get more international troops and aid involved in security and reconstruction efforts in Babylon. So what that means is that the land of the Tower of Babylon was just, again, given to a multilingual speaking body of people. We just don't learn, do we? Here we go again. So these ziggurat temples, as I looked at them this week, they resemble very, very much the Mayan ruins. Lynette and I have had the privilege of visiting the Mayan ruins. And you know what's amazing is the Mayan ruins are built with the entrance at the top. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. The Mayan ruins and the Mayan tribes worship the sun. And they thought that because the sun's 365-day cycle was accurate, that the sun was God. And they missed it. They missed it. Because the Son of God hung that sun in place. And they missed it. The sun is accurate not because it is God. The sun is indeed accurate because God commanded it to be so. And so the trouble with the Tower of Babel is that it was built to worship God, but it was built to worship the wrong God. Friend, we have to be so careful that in our lives, we don't end up giving ourselves to the wrong God. And so let's ask ourselves, who do I worship? Who do I listen to? What is my time given to? Think about the 168 hours that God gives you each week. How many of those are His? And how many of them? You do the math. Where do they go? Now, you moms of little children, you know where they go. You spend about 160 of those chasing those little kids, don't you? Where do they go? Those 168 hours. I must never serve the wrong God. I must not build the tower in my life, be it even a good thing, that becomes what I worship instead of the Lord. The third trouble with towers is that we build them to withstand floods. And the Tower of Babel was built to withstand a flood. That is amazing to me. It says in verse 3 that they had asphalt for mortar. Now, what is this asphalt that the Bible speaks of here? It is the exact same word as the word pitch in Genesis 6:14. God told Noah to cover the ark with pitch on the outside and on the inside. And it did two things. One is it made the ark float. And the other is that it preserved it. It is a symbol that we didn't talk about last week. It's a symbol of atonement. That God preserves us on the outside and on the inside. And so what did the builders of Babel do? They copied this from Noah. And so they built this tower with the entrance at the top, and then they covered it with mortar, with asphalt, with pitch to sustain a flood. Oh, how foolish. That is so foolish. It was so unnecessary for them to protect themselves from God's wrath. Why? Because God promised that He would never do that again, didn't He? And what did He leave as a sign? A rainbow. It was so obvious, and yet they missed it. Someone had come to them and whispered into their ears, "Hath God said? Hath God said that He wouldn't flood the earth?" And you're thinking, "Oh, I know that lie. That's the same lie that dirty serpent brought to Eve. Hath God said that you shouldn't eat of this tree?" And so Satan uses the same old line, the same old symbol, the same old trick, and he still does it today. Today, he would ask us, "Hath God said that? Is that what the Word of God says?" Let me offer you another explanation of what that truly means. It was not necessary for them to protect themselves from God. And yet, they neglected the Word of God. In church, neglecting God's Word and we becoming ignorant of His promises is still Satan's plan. It is still his plan. I had a Sunday school teacher who said, "This book, it'll keep you from sin. Or sin, it'll keep you from this book." And I remember that. She's in heaven now. But I remember that. And it's still the enemy's plan. Anything he can do to get us looking anywhere else but in this book. This book is, and on my watch will remain, the number one source of hearing from the Lord. Does that bring you some relief? I'm never going to get up here and tell you, "You know, I was in my study this week and God told me something, and it's contrary to this book, but I know that God told it to me, and so we're going to do it. Not going to happen. I'll change my diet and lay off raw foods or whatever that was, but this is the source of hearing from the Lord as far as being number one in my heart, in my life. Yes, does God speak to me? He does. If it doesn't line up with this, it was a bad pizza. So the enemy wants us to neglect the Word. He'll have us looking anywhere, be it a book or a man or a woman or anywhere. Church, don't fall for it. Do not fall for it. And don't listen to his lies. Now let me ask you a question. Do you need to protect yourself from God or from his will? No. Not if you know him. Now if you don't know him, oh yeah. You need to protect yourself by getting to know him. But if you know the Lord and you're serving him, you don't have to protect yourselves from God. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You say, well, that doesn't describe my life. Well, that's not because of God. Trust me. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And yet the builders of the Tower of Babel had become convinced that they had to protect themselves from God. The fourth trouble with towers is that they are contrary to God's plan. Listen, the Tower of Babel was a magnificent work. And historians tell us that there were probably 250 towers in this city. The Tower of Babel being, of course, the chief tower. It was an amazing work of craftsmanship and engineering. But it was in direct violation of God's plan. Well, what was God's plan, you ask? In Genesis 8 and verse 17, God commanded them to go and multiply on the earth. When he let Noah's sons out of the ark, he said, okay, you go that way, and you go that way, and you go that way. And spread out and multiply on the face of the earth. God did not say to go to a city. Now, I have found myself living in a city that God did not tell me to go to. It was foolish of me, but I had this plan back in 1980. I had this great plan. I was going to go back to Springfield, Missouri, where I had finished college, and I was going to work on the next couple of degrees and go to school. And I almost feel responsible for the recession that hit the Midwest, and because it seemed like every company I would go to work for would go out of business. I felt like the Typhoid Mary of Springfield, Missouri. And finally, after 2 years of not being able to make a living, we lost everything. And I mean everything. Lynette and I came to the end of ourselves. And she said to me, let's just go home. And you know what struck me? Is that after 2 years, that place had never become home. So when she said to me, let's just go home, I knew exactly what she was talking about. And we returned to the city that God had called us to. Thankfully, it was the valley here. Nowhere in the Tower of Babel account do we see men talking to God. Nowhere in the Tower of Babel account do we see God talking to men. Nowhere. It's an amazing absence in this story. And what men did by pooling their efforts and resources was remarkable, magnificent, nigh unto miraculous. It just wasn't God's plan. The motivation for the tower is made clear in the last part of verse number 4. They said, let's build this tower lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And like we do sometimes, these Tower of Babel builders had determined to resist God's plan. God had called them to do what was uncomfortable, and that was to split up. And they said, no, we have a better plan. No, don't we do that sometimes? It's not a new problem. I'll prove it to you. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, you know this verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so they resist. They turn their backs on God's plan. They build this city. They build this tower. And in verse number 5, God responds. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. This is the first time that the Lord's involved in this story. Isn't that amazing? They had erected this city, they had erected this tower, all outside of the Lord. And then in verse 5, that's just amazing to me. And then the Lord came down to see what they were doing. I want that never to be said of our church. I never want the Lord to say, well, let's go down and see what those guys, Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. That's not the way I want it. I want what we do to, because he told us to do it. Amen. Verse number 6. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. God's reaction to their tower was powerful. And yet, notice what he didn't do. Did he flood it? No. Did he smash it? No. His response was extremely merciful. God didn't come to kill them. He came to spread them. Why? That was his original plan. Had they stayed all together in the plain of Shinar at the rate that they were multiplying, it would have been very difficult to feed themselves. The land would have been depleted. And God knew that. And so God spread them, and we had a little bit of fun on Wednesday night saying, you know, if God's powerful enough to spread men and women over the face of the entire earth, he probably sent some cows and chickens along with him, don't you think? You know, and the scientists get all concerned. Well, how, you know, if the ark landed in Ararat, you know, how could a cow get to this continent? God put it there. I mean, come on. He can do that. He's God. So let me ask you, my friend, what towers have you built? Where are they? What are the time and resource users in your life that aren't for the glory of God? Which of these things make gods of themselves? I can remember when I let my secular job for a while become the god of my life. And I truly look back and regret that. In what ways are you protecting yourself from God? Where have you applied the asphalt in your life to keep God out? And why would you do that? Why? He's with you right in that deep, dark, secret place that you think he's not. He's right there with you. Have you strayed from God's plan for your life? Oh, precious tower builders, return from your projects of peril to the Lord of Lords. He has things for you to do that will blow your mind. He'll help you And He will protect you if you'll return to Him today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Well, Father, we need to ask Your forgiveness for the areas in our lives where we've built towers. Lord, some of the things that we've done, we truly in our heart wanted it to be a good thing, and then it just got out of control. And Lord, for some of us, we need a bridge built. We need a plan to come back to You. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that You would build those bridges in our lives. Lord, forgive us for sacrificing things to towers that weren't for Your honor and glory. Lord, let this be a day when we come back, when we return to the blueprints that You have laid down for our life. Lord, I pray for the ladies in this fellowship, in whose heart You laid a plan, in whose heart You gave a dream. Lord, You showed them what it was that You wanted them to do. In the busyness of toddlers and marriage and work and home, have caused them to push those dreams back into the back. Holy Spirit, would You pull those dreams up to the forefront of their minds this morning? Lord, I know that there are people in this fellowship that You have called to teach, that You have called to preach, that You have called to go. And Lord, for fear of protecting themselves from You, they have pushed those callings and dreams to the back burner. I ask You by Your Holy Spirit to pull those things forward. Lord, restore the desires of our heart that You have placed there. And we willingly abandon the towers that we have built for the sake of doing Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.